The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in, my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. My understanding was that the world was supposed to end in 1999. But that didn't happen. And again, it was supposed to end in 2012. But that didn't happen. I will get to the text for today, but first I must reflect on those that believe that some others have this way of describing for them how things will happen. We call them prophets. So I'm going to tell you a story. Oh, you love my stories, because they're always about my family. This one's about my daughter, Brittany. A while ago, she had to have a CT scan. How many have had a CT scan? What a joy. My brother described it as sticking your head in a trash can and someone beating the outside of the trash can for about 5 minutes. Close? It's not the worst kind of procedure you can have, but it is uncomfortable. For Brittany, this would be the first one of those procedures that she had had. Brittany would be having, in her life, she had been experiencing a bit of anxiety then about having this procedure done. Do you get a little excited when you have to have a procedure done at the hospital? Yeah. So it was no real surprise to her parents, Wendy and myself, to find that there was a problem for Brittany when she went in to have that procedure done. Apparently, she was all set to be slid into the CT scanner. Is everybody with me? When she started yelling, "Wait, wait, my glasses, my glasses!" So the technician stopped the machine and ran out to see what the problem was. My daughter explained to him that her brother, Max, had told her that she could not wear her glasses while entering the CT scanner because the scanner had high-powered magnets in it, and if she left her glasses on her face, the machine would not only suck her glasses off her face, it would quite possibly suck her face off with them. The technician explained to her that she could keep her glasses on or take them off. It didn't make any difference. It was her decision. No face sucking would occur. The lesson of this story? Beware of false prophets. Although my son Max might have meant well, although I don't think he did, the question remains, why did Brittany listen to him? It is with this lesson in mind that I'd like to explore our text today. The text tells us right from the beginning, do not let your hearts be troubled. But they are not easy words to keep. One reason that it is difficult to not let your hearts be troubled is because of false prophets. And we are surrounded by false prophets. They say the world would end in 1999. Did it? We're all sitting here. And again in 2012, and yet. I have to ask, were you concerned at all when you heard about those things? Wasn't the world supposed to end? Beware of false prophets. False prophets would have you believe that if you drive the right car, you will be happy. False prophets would have you believe that if you share what you have with others, you've put your life at risk. False prophets would have you believe that they have God all figured out. False prophets want your heart to be troubled. The gift of our text today is do not let your hearts be troubled. Those are the first words from the text today, and they are good words to keep. Do not let your hearts be troubled. One of life's greatest questions is, why am I here? Or, what is my purpose? Although false prophets would try to describe for you an answer, why you are here to buy these things. Or, you are here to help me with my quest. Through the scriptures, though, we find a different kind of answer. In the scripture, we are here to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with each other. We are, each of us, called to be the person, the child of God that God has designed us to be. Your gifts, your time, your very life, all of that is a gift from God. And you yourself are a gift from God, called to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. We are here to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with each other. This is our Christian identity. Now, close on the heels of the question, why am I here, is a question addressed in our text for today. That question is, where am I going? Where am I going, and how am I getting there? It is an eschatological question. Ooh, that word. Do you remember? We've talked about it once already. It's an interesting word, eschatological. It has to do with things involved in eschatology. Why? There you go. That's the answer. Its basic definition is this. It is being concerned with the final events in the history of the world of humankind. That's eschatology. If you have been talking with someone, perhaps lately, about the idea of the world ending, has anybody been in that conversation? Oh, the world's in bad shape. Then you have been a person involved in an eschatological discussion with someone else. And so our text today is a bit eschatological. It seeks to inform us about where I am going and how I am getting there. First, where am I going? Or perhaps we could speak a bit more corporately and we could say, where are we going And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And there is this from Jesus. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. The answer we hear from Jesus sounds directional at first, like an actual place that we are going. But maybe it's less about a particular physical place that we are going, and it's more about a way that God is able to be with God's people. See, the Greek word being used for house in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, the Greek word used for that house is oikia. It has a bit deeper meaning than what we think of when we say house. There's some discussion that it should be translated not as house, like a physical structure, but as household, like a community, a household. The second translation, the household translation, is about a relationship, and it's about relationships. So that in my Father's household, there are many dwelling places, could be a way of understanding that there are many different ways to be in relationship with God. We, each one of us here, have our own individual relationship with God. We are each entering into our own personal, deepening relationship with God. And as a community together, here in Belvedere, we enter into a relationship as this community. So there's a kind of a two-way that that happens, but we're thinking about today especially about our individual deepening relationship with God in context with those around us. So with this in mind, where are we going? The answer might be, well, in deeper relationship with God. Each day that passes, we are deepening, each of us, our own particular relationship with God. And now to the question, how do we get there? No, it's not dying. I mean, well, we die, and that's where we go. To this household with many dwelling places, right? That's where we know we are going to. And we've talked about it's not a place, but more of an idea. And the idea now is, how do we get there? No matter if it's a physical place or if it's just relationship with God, how do we get there? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If where is being closer to the Father, then how we get there is Jesus Christ. And Jesus qualifies what it means to be in relationship with the Father through him. Jesus says, if you know me, you will know the Father also. To know Jesus is not simply to name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To know Jesus will take work, hard work. Jesus says, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Greater works than what Jesus has done? Is that us? Do we strive to do greater works than what Jesus has done? How can that be possible? But maybe more important to ask is, what could those works be? And so we pray. Good and gracious God, help us to believe that Jesus is the cornerstone, your precious Son that you have sent for us so that we might receive mercy. And in that mercy, Lord, help us to be your people who do great works that glorify your Son, Jesus. We know that with you, all things are possible. Lord God, help our hearts not to be troubled. Amen.